Now, this morning we want to go back into our subject that we have been away from for some time now. We want to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to, as we look at this morning, we're going to commence to read at verse 14. I think the last morning we were here, and we're looking at Romans, we were looking at particularly verses 9 through to 14. So, verse 14 of Romans 12, please. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The subject that we have this morning still continues to be love. In verses 9 down to 14, we have what the Christian is to deal or to behave one with another. We are to let our love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave unto that which is good. The subject this morning is not love within the framework of the believers. Rather, the subject this morning is love toward those who are still out of Christ. Love to those who are still, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, the same Spirit is still before us. Although the exercise that we have in this area of the Scripture is to them who are without Christ. And this morning I do not know as to what your position are with respect to the Lord, but if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, there hasn't come in your life a time when you as a guilty lost sinner found the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then let me say this, without any question, you're outside of Christ. The Bible says you're without hope, without Christ in Ephesians chapter 2, and without God in the world. But you see, the picture this morning is to the Christian and how we're to deal with the people we live with every day, or we work with every day. So the Christian has social responsibilities. In the next chapter, which we'll deal with next Sunday morning, God willing, it's the Christian's responsibility to the government. But this morning particularly, it has to do with my social relationships day by day with those around me. And to those who are outside, as we said, of those who are fellow Christians. Love is mainly is really an atmosphere, is an attitude. Love really is that which is we convey by not only by word, but by life. So in these verses 17 now, down to 19, they're really, as we look at those verses, I just want you to notice particularly, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we have in these verses a more passive attitude in our relationship with those who are around us. You see, this is the main thought. While in verses 20 and 21, we have there an active as to how my attitude is to those who do me harm as a Christian. What is really my attitude? And so, this is pretty well a broad, very broad, and a quick picture of what we have in these verses. However, let's look at verse 14 to commence our little study. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now let me suggest to you something. In verse 13, it says, notice that little phrase, given to hospitality. It suggested that the word in verse 13, given to, literally means pursuing. That's what the word given to, or pursue hospitality. Now, actually, and it's the identical word that we have, this word given or pursuing, is identical with the persecutors of this verse. So then, we are to pursue hospitality, and we are also to bless those who pursue us in that attitude. This is the most difficult. I want to say this morning, this is easy to preach about, but it's another thing to live. And this is so vital. And I want you to notice this with me, please, because this is the love of Christ. This is not human love. There is no way in which you and I can approach and deal with people day by day and day by day and deal with them in an attitude of love unless it's the love of Christ. It's hopeless for you or me to deal with people in love of the human aspect. And this is often the problem that Christians face, is trying to love people with human love, and it's hopeless. Because you see, this is completely and clearly the picture that the Lord Jesus gave on the Sermon on the Mount. When he said, bless them who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when ye men shall revile you and persecute you. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying in that chapter in Matthew chapter 5. But here is simply a confirmation of that. And so we see that love is blessing those who are our persecutors, those who are the ones who are difficult in the job, those are the ones who I'm really having trouble with day by day. You see, this is what the Lord is saying to us. And let me say this. Love is not something that I work up. Love has more to do with my will as a Christian than it has to do with my emotions. You see, the reason is because I am to love those who do not love me is because God says so. And that God has placed by His Spirit in my heart the love of Christ. So I have no excuse as a believer in Christ to not love those who persecute me. None whatsoever. I am absolutely and definitely responsible to God, because He has the power and the ability to give me that love that is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. But the important point is to make absolutely sure that I am really born of the Holy Spirit of God. Because if I am born of the Holy Spirit of God, then God gives me the power. God gives me the ability. And you see, that's what we're speaking of in verse 14. But I want you to notice as well in verse 15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with those that do weep. Here, love is interesting itself, not in me, but in others. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, there's something about us in the natural state that in the state of real serious sorrow, There's a normal response that comes from us. And there should be. But let me say this. There's something here in this verse that I'm afraid that isn't always the case. And that is, do I rejoice with those who really rejoice? In other words, do I rejoice with those who are successful? Those who have more than I have? Those who really are, as it were, we'll term in the terminology as Christians, are really prospering. Do I rejoice with them, or am I looking at them with a kind of a green-eyed look, wondering why am I not enjoying what they have? You see, that's rejoicing with those who rejoice. Or if the Lord is really blessed in some unusual way that I can really enter into this blessing of God. But I want you to notice as well in verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. And here, We find love finding its points of agreement, not the points. You see, we're to have the same concern in the welfare of others as for our own, and this is a very, very, very difficult thing. It is easy to accentuate our differences. It's so easy to do that. Some people in our dealing with souls around us in our everyday course of life, they may take a very strong and an antagonistic attitude toward our confession of Christ. But I want to ask a question. I want to, how do you handle those differences? You see, but if we have the same spirit of love for others as we have for our own, you see, he says, be of the same mind one to another. It will really, this is a very, very important thing as believers in Christ, because we are always the opposite to really being antagonistic. We can overlook the elements that tend to unite and really look at the often the things that cause us to differ. What a pity that is. In other words, the negative side of things. But let us look again further at verse 16. Notice how that love is to spurn the ambitious spirit that's so often around us. And I believe this calls for, notice it says in verse 16, mind not high things. So often we have our goals or eyes set on certain things, and I know this to be the case of Christians as well, that it doesn't matter often who we hurt to obtain our objective. And you see, this is opposite to what we have here. We're not to mind the things that are high, but rather the word that we'll look at in a moment or two, to condescend, and I don't like that word. I think it's a poor rendering here. And we'll look at that in a second, but I want you to just for a second with me turn to the third chapter of John and look how that little book, the third epistle to John, I'm sorry, that little book that is very interesting little book because it relates to three people. The third epistle of John. There are three people in this particular book that should teach us some lessons, and we want to look at particularly verse 9. The Apostle John is writing and he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What an ambitious type of thing. This is really not at all like the Spirit of Christ. You see, we can see what trouble that church must have had. What church this man caused in his ambitious spirit. What a shame to see this, as it were, in a believer. But whereas really the Lord is saying to us, don't mind the things that are high. But I want you to notice that word condescend is a little, as we said, is unfortunate in its modern usage, because it has the thought of unworthy patronage. In other words, it was just simply a looking down the nose. And that is not the Spirit of Christ either. Here the meaning is something very different. And really it means this. Let yourselves be carried away with the Spirit of Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus met with the publicans and sinners. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, or Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, these are the words. Then drew near all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Isn't it amazing that that the woman of Luke 7, who was a woman of the street, a profligate, yet she came in to listen at the feet of Christ to his words. She was drawn to Christ. There was nothing of condescension attitude or spirit in the Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved saints of God this morning, I believe the word condescension should have the aspect of making ourselves equal to every area of society, no matter who they may be. You see, when we went to Anguilla, the state of Anguilla is a small little island. The people are poor. Broadly speaking, I would say their major income of most of the people in Anguilla, a major number of them, I don't suppose they would make over a couple of $1,000 a year. They're really just living on bare necessities. You know, the only way that you could minister to those people is to create within them the thought that we loved them, and we did. We did love them. That's why we were there, hopefully to try and win them to Christ. You see, and we were to be drawn away toward those people with the love of Christ. You know, one of the things that's so characteristic, we came home. One of the things when we land in Toronto, we noticed what the little gospel chapel in Anguilla, and then we moved into Toronto. We went over to an assembly there, and we saw the magnificent building they had. And my wife and I commented, as we think of how that these people there in Anguilla were really enjoying the Lord with such a meager amount, and often we seem to have around us so much. You know, beloved, in this often in our Western society, in our Canadian society, we often form into little cliques as to how each will really be with one another. It's the level of my education. It's the level of my finances. And we have these little levels. This should not be among the saints of God. This should not be. You see, we must give ourselves to everyone and everything alike. God, give us that spirit of grace, we pray. You see, this is the searching test of true spirituality. It's how I can relate to the poorest of the poor. Not how I can relate to the richest of the rich, although that may be a factor too. And so we look at this portion as we see, be not wise in your own conceits. My, you know, this is where we're at. This is really getting down to the real basics of life here. You see, there is nothing more despicable than conceit. Self-opinionation. Oh, we all have that spirit of pride that's so dangerous among us. And so many times it's often associated with we have some little bit of gift or we have some area of my life I want to obtain. I want to reach up and be that another bracket of finances. I want to reach up and be another bracket of society. Please don't tell me that this is not possible among the saints, as well as it is among the unsaved. It's very possible. It shouldn't. You know, I think that an empty and shallow person is a person who's the vainest. And you see, corn, when it is green, is upright. But when it ripens, it bends. Where there's maturity in the corn loses a lot of its moisture and it begins to bend. And the sign of maturity is how easy we bend. When you get older like me, it's not the easiest to bend. Oh, I pray of all things, I pray with all my soul this morning God, don't allow me to be an old man who doesn't know how to bend. You see, may we learn some lesson from the corn. A mature ear of corn, or a mature stalk of corn, bends. Let's look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. So here there's real conviction between self-forgetfulness and love. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You see, this is real love and pardoning evil done to us. This is a real sign again of spiritual maturity in the life of a child of God. Pride is the easiest thing that's wounded. If you're hurt easy, I can tell you the problem. It's spelled with a capital P. And the next word is R. And the next word, the next letter is I. And the next word, letter is D. And the next letter is E. If you're wounded, you're hurt easily. You see, and also it's the next step is this easy as well. Vengeance, retaliation. You see, there's nothing more unchristlike than the grace of forbearing with one another. Whether it's the unsaved or whether it's a Christian. And nothing will bring witness to those who you live with, those who you are associated with in business and in work, than being able to bend. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, what a pity that we haven't learned to bend often. But let's look at verse 17 further. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And here that word honest is really honorable. That's what the word really means. Honorable means beautiful. And you'll see the picture in a moment. And when the bending becomes a beautiful thing. Why? It's like Christ. It has to be beautiful. You see? There needs to be an attractiveness of the Spirit of Christ permeating from our lives. You see, we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know that word good in the, I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10? The word really in its literal sense means I am the beautiful shepherd. It means simply that the beauty of being a shepherd, of caring and loving and looking after and is the picture of the Lord Jesus. You know, when this happens to the saints, where there's someone hurt in the sense or ill or something, when the saints of God then begin to show Christ-likeness by surrounding that person and praying and caring, that's like Christ. You see, in Titus, there's another word that's similar to this. Let us therefore learn to maintain good works. And that word is beautiful works. In Titus chapter 3. You see, providing is a very interesting word as well here. It has to really, as giving forethought to the need of those around us. It means that which is morally and spiritually attractive. That we're to maintain good works, to maintain beautiful works. You see, there's no real contradiction between the injunction there and contending earnestly for the faith that we have in Jude, the epistle, little epistle of Jude. Here it says simply, here to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then notice it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, we're to live peaceably. Our love is keeping the peace with all. And I think that the case of providing things honest in the sight of, I think the word is all, and men, or all people, is the heart of the verse. You see, it's for all. To provide things that are good and beautiful in the life of the child of God. You see, and also the fact that to live peaceably here, the word if it be possible seems to refer to our own particular attitude here. It's my responsibility, you see, to live peaceably. The saying, I believe, is true that it takes two to make a quarrel. I think there's an element of truth in that. In fact, a large element. And this to keep the peace will mean to really have to work at it. And I think that as we look at this portion of the scripture this morning, this is seen by the game by the Lord Jesus when he said, blessed are the peacemakers. I wonder if when people begin to talk, I want to just quietly say something about this. When people begin you, if someone begins to talk to you about another Christian, I wonder what do you say? Do you listen? Or do you say, oh, I'm sorry. I can't solve that problem. Because I'm not part of it. Nor can I be of any contribution to it because it's your problem. And you've got to do something about it. You've got to see that child. Beloved, there's nothing worse among the saints of God than this, than talking about one another. It's a serious, serious thing. It can mar the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, to live peaceably, live peaceably, with all men. Then we notice verse 19, for time is gone. It's a good job I see the clock at the back of the chapel, I'm not looking at mine, because mine says 11:30. You'd be in trouble. Anyway, let's just look at for a moment or two at verse 19 before we close. Now notice it says in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. And this word give place is mentioned also in Ephesians chapter 4. And in that particular passage, it's to make room for wrath. So it would appear that there could be a contradiction, but there really isn't. For you see, to make room is to stand aside and as it goes by, to be out of its role, is to give place to it. You see, but when it comes to the matter of avenging not ourselves, that has to do with my attitude, my action, my reaction to somebody else's hurt, to somebody else's attitude toward me or to my action toward me. You see, on the contrary to this, we're to hold a strong position against the devil. Because we're to resist the devil, and he will flee. But you see here, to avenge not ourselves, why? But rather give place. Give place unto wrath. Just to let it pass by. To step aside of the road. God giving help in this way to do this. You see, as we look at this, it says so clearly, we're to set aside our rights as children of God. Oh, we're always learning today. We're listening. Look, I can understand to some degree, a large degree, we're hearing continuously about our rights about this, our rights about that, my right as a person, my rights. I want to ask you a question. Do you think it was Christ's rights that he had when he went to the cross? Is that his rights? Was it? He knew no sin. He had no sin. They charged him illegally. If he'd have used his rights, he'd have called 10,000 legions of angels. Beloved saints of God, this verse teaches me, as a child of God, God is going to look after my rights. God is going to look after that. I turn them over to the Lord. I turn that person, whoever that may be, or that circumstance, whatever it might be. God is bigger than anyone or anything. I believe that. Oh, to learn this lesson as believers in Christ. We haven't time to look at verses 20 and 21. See those two pictures, we have love returning the opposite, good for evil. Verse 21 is love winning a true victory. Yes. Calvary to the world at the time was a monstrosity. Calvary to the world and to the devil was a victory. But they didn't know the power of God. Listen to these words. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Unto us which are saved. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's foolishness. Sure it was. Weakness. Weakness? Huh. The Lord Jesus has won more hearts and more victory by His love than Hitler or Napoleon or any other general that's tried to conquer. Beloved, God give us the Spirit of Christ in this area of our lives. May God help us to pray. And I'm talking about this morning. I hope you'll understand one thing. I hope I've conveyed. If I haven't, then I feel bad. I haven't conveyed the I thought that this is everything. I'm victorious in every area of this life. This is not true. But I can tell you one thing with all my heart. This is what I want to convey. This is what the longing of my soul to convey. Is this to the world as I deal with them day by day? Is this to those of the saints of God around me that I convey day by day? And you know, faith, yes, hope, love, the greatest of these is what? Is love. Never forget that. You can have faith to remove mountains and have it love, you're nothing. And all the hope in the world, you see, and hope is going to give place to sight. But you see, love is going to continue. And you know there's not a soul here this morning, not one that can't learn how to really love like Christ. Oh, not the same amount, but to love like Him. God, give us that desire. Should be our prayer. Shall we pray? Father, this morning, as we've looked into this portion of Thy Word, how sobering, how solemn. God, give those of us who deal with the world around us every day, oh, to have that Spirit of Christ emanating from our lives, this picture that's so characteristic of Him. Grant us, we pray. For we ask it, our Father, as we think that there may be someone here who is still a stranger to this love, that haven't really entered into the fact that God loves them and Christ died. Oh God, we pray that something might be so said this morning. The Spirit of Christ might somehow has gone from heart to heart, bringing that person to the foot of the cross. For there is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, the power of God. Grant thy blessing, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.